If you have a Bible this morning, I invite you to take it and open it to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you would, please, Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you don't have one, don't worry about it. We'll put some scripture up there for you, and you'll be able to see what the scripture says in these particular passages. My wife and I want to thank you this morning, those of you who prayed for us these last couple of days as we were at a marriage conference in Ames at the Cornerstone Church. And we had a wonderful experience with the believers there. There were about 400 to 500 individuals that were there, about nearly a dozen that were engaged. And so it was quite the conference, and we had just an incredible experience. In fact, getting to know some of the staff up there, I have over the last couple of years. One individual that I befriended, his name is Paul Sabino. He was some of you may know him if you've been up, been to the Salt Company. He was the former pastor of the Salt Company for a few years. Now he's on the D6 ministry, which is their Deuteronomy 6 ministry, particularly with children and families. So he was sort of the MC of the conference. And he, in his effort to illustrate to parents that children are a reflection of their image, he told of how recently he said he was at, they had a gathering with, they had some friends over their house, and they were just talking, yakking it up, and his two-year-old, I think it was, wasn't it, dear? His two-year-old comes running into the living room, buck naked, and just went to everybody, completely unashamed. And everybody was, the conversation was immediately arrested as this naked two-year-old is standing right in front of him. And in the awkwardness of it all, Paul's wife said, "You know, he looks just like his father." Some of you have been around for a while, remember the contemporary song in the 1980s by Ray Bolts, who I think the words went something like this as he was singing with his son in mind to God, saying that he was saying to God, I want to be like you because he wants to be like me. Jesus said that the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone that's fully trained will be like his teacher. If we hope for our children to become image bearers of Christ, then they'd better see at least a cloudy impression of him in our own lives. Wouldn't you agree? Now, it's going to be cloudy. It's not going to be perfect. But they ought to see something of Jesus in us, shouldn't they? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have a passage of scripture which Jesus called the greatest commandment. In fact, it was known as the greatest commandment to the Jewish people and to us, because Jesus put it upon us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so let's look at this passage together, and then we'll just sort of talk about it. This is a challenge to every single one of us to be image bearers of God. And it is a particular challenge to every parent who desires to lay that image, albeit cloudy, before their children. And so every one of you that will approach this platform at the end of the service, this is particularly for you, but this is for every one of us, including the children that are in our midst this morning. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or strength." By the way, the Jews called this the Shema. The word Shema means hear, and it comes from the very first word in this verse. The idea in Judaism, as well as early Christendom, was when you say, "Hear me, he who has ears to hear, let him," what? "Hear," Jesus said. The idea is to hear with the idea and with the intent of obeying what I'm having laid at my feet. So this was called this verse was called the Shema. And the Jews, Orthodox ones, even to this day, will take what is called phylacteries, and they're little leather pouches. They'll wrap them on their forearm, and they'll tie them around their heads. And in these pouches of these leather straps would be the Shema. As a constant reminder to them that they were to be lovers of God with everything about them. Well, picking it up in verse 6, I think, is where we left. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them. The word teach means to repeat. That's really where we get our idea of catechism, where we just constantly repeat things. We get it right from here, to be repetitious. You shall teach them diligently. That word means to inculcate or to pierce or to sharpen. It carries the idea of you are piercing. To inculcate something is to stick it into something. That's what we're doing. We're sticking truth into the minds and hearts of our kids. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? You shall teach them diligently, or you'll pierce them into your children. And talk of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That's where the whole phylactery idea comes in. You shall write them on the doorpost. That's the Hebrew word mezuzah. We get our word mezuzah. When we were in Israel here a year or so, every single store would have piles of mezuzahs and different ivory ones and different wooden ones, metal ones, decorative ones. And I think some of our people bought them. I kind of wish I'd have got one myself. Because you couldn't go by any Jewish establishment, especially a home, without seeing right there on the doorpost a mezuzah that they would kiss and touch before they'd walk into their home. Because that mezuzah represented the Shema, the promise of God that we are children of God and hence lovers of God. And so you'll put them on your doorpost, he says, and your house and on your gates. This is a perfect passage of Scripture for every serious-minded Christian parent who wants to dedicate their son or daughter to Christ. Because our dedication to Him has to be reflected in at least three areas. And these are the ones I lay before you this morning. And the first area is every pulse of your being. Every pulse of your being should be a reflection that you love God. Look at the scripture again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words have to be in your heart first. If you want to get them into your kid's heart, don't expect to get them into your kid's heart if they're not in yours. That doesn't even make sense. Listen, no matter what happens to your kids, no matter what your kids are doing right now. Some of you have older kids and they're not complying. They're not living for God. They're off doing this or doing that. Some of you got younger middle school kids and you're kind of wondering a little bit whether their hearts are all in it. And you're praying your heart out. You're spending time. Maybe you're fasting before God as well. You should. But let there be no doubt. Let there be no doubt, no matter what our kids are doing, no matter where they're at in their walk with God, even if they have a walk with God, let there be no doubt that you are a lover of God. I remember some of my dearest, dearest friends live in California. I had a daughter that just totally rebelled in her teenage years. I mean, so much so, I myself wondered if she could possibly be a Christian, although she claimed to be. And I would say repeatedly to the parents, you need to be strong in your walk with God. Present that solid platform for them, that no matter where they go, they know that mom and dad are lovers of Christ. You know, it was nearly 8 years later, that young lady had so messed up her life, she ended up in California, and she was living with a guy. And she decided one day to witness to him. What a novel idea. She started witnessing to this guy, and as she was witnessing to him, he looked at her and he said, if what you have is Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. When she heard that come out of her mouth, she literally dropped to her knees in front of him, beat her chest, and cried out for forgiveness for her hypocrisy to God. She stood up, looked at that guy, and said, you can leave. And she kicked him out of the house. And to this day, some 12 years later, she is still living for Jesus Christ. And all of that was because of the home base that her parents gave to her. That home base of every pulse of her being for God. Well, when it comes to describing your spirituality, I ask you, when it comes to describing your spirituality, would people say, he loves Jesus, she loves Jesus? That's a good question, isn't it? Here's the other thing I see in this passage. Not only should your dedication be reflected in every pulse of your being, but in every part of your day. Look at verse 7. Every part of your day. Where it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Notice when. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All the natural parts of the day. Listen, at this conference I was at, I was preaching through Malachi chapter 2. And I was preaching on that part where God wants a godly seed, and I went into Malachi's contemporary, who was Nehemiah. This was fascinating. Nehemiah and Malachi were contemporaries. And Nehemiah, who, remember, he comes in, they rebuild the wall, they reestablish the worship, and things are going hunky-dory, so to speak. But Nehemiah leaves for a while, comes back only to discover that the people were intermingling with pagans. They were marrying unsaved pagan people, daughters of foreign gods. That's how they were described. And Nehemiah was beside himself, so much so, he says, in Nehemiah 13, he says, even the children, they didn't even speak the language of Jehovah anymore. And that really jumped out at me. The children no longer spoke the language of Jehovah. The other day, I was talking to my son, Josh, and one of his friends had come to Christ from the past, and we were discussing how he could approach him. And I said, you know, Josh, you could just say to him, you could say, you know, well, I'm praising the Lord that you've come to know Jesus as your Savior. Just tell him you're praising the Lord. And my son says, well, Dad, I don't talk like that. And, you know, he didn't mean anything by it, and he really wanted to reach this guy. But our language wasn't the same. My heart, it hurt my heart. He didn't mean to hurt it. I really believe that if you want a Christian home that honors Jesus Christ, not only should it be reflected in every pulse of your being, but every part of your day. And I think that you and I, it's high time that we recapture the language of God in our homes. Recapture the language of God in our homes. Now, it's very natural in our home to talk about God, to talk about the Lord Jesus, to talk about the Scripture and such. But even with that, there's cultural changes going on all the time. We have to recapture this. The writer, Moses, tells us how. It should be natural for you to talk about Jesus, is it? Is it natural for you dads to talk about your love for Jesus? Is it? If it's not, it needs to be. Make it natural. You might say, oh man, it'd be so weird for my kid to hear me say, you know, have you talked to Jesus today? Well, okay, it'll only be weird a couple of times. When he starts hearing it three or four times, it'll start becoming natural. Make it natural. Psalm 145, I was just reading this morning, so I had Doug throw this up. This is a psalm that's one of the, it may be the greatest praise psalm in all of the psalms. But I've listed several of them, and I want you to notice the way we are encouraged to describe our relationship to God and our history with God. One generation shall praise your works to another. You're going to find no less than 9 descriptions of our testimony to our kids. Praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter, that word means to bubble forth, the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing. When's the last time you were singing in the house about Jesus, of your righteousness? They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They shall talk of your power. And why? Well, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Every pulse of your being, every part of your day, and finally, your dedication needs to be reflected in every place in your home. Every place in your home. Verses 8 and 9. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be its frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The other day, my son was in a wrestling tournament, and he won the tournament. And so I remember, as a wrestler myself, one of the greatest thrills for a wrestler was to be able to take that poster. They'd all, you know, if you were in a tournament, they'd always plaster the hallway with posters of every single weight. You'd find your weight, you'd find your name, and you'd watch yourself progress through there. And if you won it, not only would you get the ribbon or the medal, but you'd get the coveted poster. I mean, I gotta tell you, only wrestlers understand this. You get to take that poster home. And I remember when I was a kid, we'd slap that poster up in the room, and you'd have posters, you know. I didn't have that many of them, but we had posters in the room as if to say to everybody who walked into my room, I was the champ. I was talking about that with my son here the other day, and I thought, man, is it because it's not hip and cool to have scripture in your house listed? Is it not hip and cool anymore? Is that really stupid, or is it geekish, or whatever you want to call it, to not have reminders of God in your house? I mean, if I read this passage, every room in my house ought to remind me of my relationship to God. There ought to be truth, scripture, truth, phrases, reminders of God. I remember, and I remember when I was first in the ministry, and my family was really, really tiny at the time. That is, well, I was smaller too, but at any rate, my kids were little. And we were in a home. We lived in this, it was kind of a dilapidated home in this little farm community where I was pastoring. But it took care of our needs on the weekends. We only lived there on the weekends. And so the upstairs, it was the home of a godly older widow in our church who had raised 2 daughters who both became missionaries. And one of her daughters had 4 daughters, and every one of them were missionaries in China. Every one of them. And so I went up the steps of this home where these kids were raised, and here was this little room, and the wallpaper was the wallpaper of the world. And I was told the reason why Mom did that was to constantly remind her kids that this is what Jesus died for. And you must reach this world. They chose China. Moms and dads, we have a high calling. A very high calling. And that high calling is that the truth of God, the love of God, is just going through every pulse of our being, and that the talk of God is natural in every part of our day, and that there's a reflection of who he is in every part of our home, of our where we live. And the reason for all this effort is because God knows there's a pretty good chance that your kids are going to outlive you. Our kids are going to outlive us. There's a pretty good chance. Wouldn't you agree? That's why in Malachi chapter 2, Malachi says, the reason God has done all of these things, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? And here's the reason. He, God, seeks a godly offspring. That's why. God's purpose has always been to perpetuate his story through us and to our kids. Did you catch that? God's purpose has always been to perpetuate his story through us to our kids. And to that end, may we completely dedicate our hearts. If you, speaking of your heart, have never had your heart changed, then it's really not very possible for you to be able to give that to your kid or your grandkids. And if you're here this morning and you've never had a time in your life where your heart was changed, just think about that for a moment. Can you say you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? My guess is you're going to say no. And the reason you say no is because you're a sinner. We are sinners. We're separated from God. We have no ability to love God. But Jesus, God himself, came and died for us, rose again for us, that we might recognize our sin before him, placed our trust in him, and have the love of God put into our hearts, according to Romans chapter 5. It's literally placed in our hearts. Wouldn't you like that? If you've never had that happen to you, you can't be trusting your church. You can't be trusting all kinds of things that people trust. You got to trust Jesus. Jesus and him alone, who died and rose again. If you've never trusted him, would you do that today? You'll have him in your heart. You can love him with all your heart. And you can become an individual that is a reflection of these things to your kids and your grandkids. Let's bow for a word of prayer as Mark comes and we prepare ourselves to dedicate our kids to God. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to just sing our praises to you, to hear testimonies about how you're working in one of our ministries. And to be able to open up your word, Lord, and go back to that precious passage of Scripture, which has within it the greatest commandment, to love you with all of our hearts, souls, and strength. I pray, Lord, that as we have reflected upon these things, there has been true challenge to our hearts. And I pray for those whose hearts are still darkened. They've never trusted Jesus. But today they might place their faith in him and him alone. Thank you for every one of the families represented here at Sailorville. And may this time of dedication be precious, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing, and as we sing, all of you desiring to dedicate your child to the Lord, we would like you to come up here and just fill the platform, stand up right here, all the way along here, and make room for each other. Don't come right on up as we sing this song.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.